I've actually been working on my G'day Footy fans through the week, Liam. You'd be pleased to know. Did you want me to... Are you okay if I mix it up? It's just I've been trying to give it a little bit more oomph or sort of talking from the stomach just to see if it might fire up listeners a little bit more.
Are you going to do like an impersonation, like another Gus? Or because we know the listeners love the old no.
Well, I don't know if they did, mate. We had Brett, who I want to give a bit of a shout out to. That was my impersonation for the sole reason was telling him not to sell Nakora, and he did. So unfortunately, no more Gus impersonations, but I'll give it my best shot as a little bit more energy behind this G'day Footy fans. We'll see how we go. And just let me know your feedback.
Definitely. Give it to me.
G'day Footy fans.
It's very manly, I'd say that, which is opposite to you. So yeah, it's good. It's not bad. It's got a bit of gusto. Someone that smokes a packet a day.
Yeah, well, it was. I didn't actually think of the smokes, but I was sort of going for, you know, a couple of VBs for breakfast. You know, maybe you've played 15 years captain coach in the front row for your local football team, that kind of vibe.
And also got some emphysema symptoms.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to throw that into the mix. What do you reckon? Do I hang on to that or I just go with my authentic voice that I normally do?
I think you're authentic because at the moment it sounds like, as I said, between a bit of a Bogan and maybe like a Jeff Tuvey with the throat.
Not a good look on me.
Nah, it needs to be another investigation.
Oh, fair enough. Well, we might leave it up to the listeners. If they want me to fire up every week and just come in all guns blazing, maybe with a different voice every time for out of their league, then I still won't do it.
Before we get on to the pod, should we just tell the listeners what happened?
We probably should, mate. We've just recorded a 50-minute podcast and Liam's chucked it on the computer as I was about to leave and go to the gym, and we realised that my microphone wasn't actually on. So
yeah. You would have just heard me talking for 50 minutes. So
that's enough to make your ears bleed as well.
We actually want listeners, so yeah.
Exactly. The goal of the podcast is to grow it, that's for sure, not kill it. So we're going to go around again. It's now 8:45 on a school night, I might add, but we do care about our audio quality, and we know you guys, you know, would be pretty annoyed if you had to walk around and one of the voices was pretty faint. So we're going to go around again.
Let's do it.
So who's hot, who's not? That's our favorite segment of the week. I've got the who's hot list this week. So we'll start things off with the most popular buy this week, Liam, and that's David Clemmer. So this one obviously makes quite a bit of sense, as NRL fantasy coaches by nature can be pretty erratic, not the most patient type of people, and Fifita is going to serve a one-game suspension. And if you're going for a like-for-like trade, bringing in another front row forward, he looks like the pick of the bunch.
Yeah, he'd be the logical trade-out direct swap if you needed him.
So if you're absolutely flush for trades and you are able to get Fifita out of your team this week and bring him back in before the end of the year, very well played to you. You're a rare breed of coaches with enough trades there up your sleeve. But as a little bit of a side note, Clemmer before this year really hasn't been fantasy relevant with his time at the Dogs. He's been an elite prop for quite some time, but he's really upped his tackle count, his minutes, and in the last two games he's actually unlocked a bit of an offload as well. So that's potentially a little bit more upside for would-be owners.
Yeah, and he's been consistent throughout the year as well.
Absolutely. So I think at the start of the year a lot of the chat was around there not being enough premium front row forward options to start with. It was kind of Fifita to Powell and the rest, but you can comfortably throw David Clemmer into that mix now.
And Haas. Now we've doubled up.
Well, I mean, Haas has gone to the top of the list, isn't he? He's the king of all those guys. So, and given how young he is, I'd imagine he'll be a must-have in NRL fantasy for years to come. Next on the list, we've got another premium player, and that's Daly Cherry Evans. So a lot of teams floating around, I've noticed, in fantasy circles look to be missing that one extra gun halfback. And look, if you're someone like Liam or like myself, even a couple of weeks ago that owns Brooks, or you're a little bit concerned about SJ's form, then you can understand why Daly Cherry Evans is on the radar of a lot of coaches this week.
Yeah, especially after that score on the weekend as well.
So we've highlighted our concerns already on this show before about Cade Cust, but he's named as 18th man this week, and it's looking unlikely that he's going to be in that team and any chance of taking points off Cherry Evans. I think his stocks do go up playing alongside Dylan Walker in the halves, given you wouldn't expect him to do too much long kicking.
No, whoever owns DC would be happy about Walker being named there again in the halves.
For sure. And look, just before I move off, Daly Cherry Evans, something we spoke about off air. Someone else, I think, if you're looking for a half that really should have some of your consideration this week, given that he's in half the amount of teams of Cherry Evans, and that's Mitch Moses. So he's averaging 66.7 over his last three games. They were absolutely dominated over the weekend by Manly, and he still managed 66 points. So that's a great sign. And if you dig a little deeper into his stats, you'll notice that he's accumulated 20 points or more in the last 5 weeks just in kick meters. So that's a huge stat.
I was thinking earlier in the week, is he the most underrated NRL fantasy player this season?
Well, I think him and probably Milford.
Or underappreciated.
Yeah, and look, Moses is probably a victim of what he's put out in previous years. He's never been a fantasy factor. He's always had those explosive games, but then he'll go back to 20s the week after. But he's a different man this year. And given their run home, they've got a couple of games there at Bankwest, and he clearly loves playing there. I think he deserves to be in conversations a little bit more than he is. Next on the list, we've got a cheapie. So Tautai Moga, a centre there, coming in at 257K for the Knights. He's only played the two games, averaging in the mid-30s, and has a break even of -2. So for those looking for a cash-out option that also provides a bit of that valuable cover in the centre position, he looks like your man this week. However, if you're, again, one of these rare breeds of coaches that has plenty of trades, he fits the bill for a cash cow as well, given that low break even this week. But most people are bringing in these cheaper guys at this stage of the season just for the pure cash out value, get freeing up that cash for another trade. But yeah, he's, look, a really handy player. He's been plagued by injury, had some horrible knee injuries in his career, but looked really good over the weekend, scored 50 points, had a try, 7 tackle busts. So he looks like a really good cash out option.
Yeah, and I think a lot of coaches, because I got a lot of questions on Twitter, especially about Moga, about his job security. And it's something that obviously we don't know. If we had Nathan Brown's number on speed dial, we'd be calling him early this morning to find out.
Mate, so we'd have him on the podcast.
Definitely. So, yeah, it's something that we can't obviously guarantee. We don't know for sure. But if he keeps up performances like he did over the weekend, he gives himself a good shot to the end of the year.
I think, look, if he continues to make his tackles and run the ball hard, he should hang on to the spot. But, look, if he ended up missing tackles throughout the game, you could see Nathan Brown potentially moving Matautia out there to shore up that position. Not saying that he's, you know, head and shoulders above greater defender, but he has found himself in that position as well. So I think all things considered, a decent cash out option this week. Next on the list, we've got one of my favorites, Damien Cook. So we've talked about it a few times. There is a handful of players in NRL fantasy that are absolute must-haves. You have to find a way to get them into your team, and Damien Cook's probably at the top of the list.
Yeah, Damien Cook. He's been consistent for the last two seasons. You can't go past him.
Yeah, you're right. So he's the best hooker available in NRL fantasy, but he's the third best NRL player this season. So, and that's without really going crazy with too many 100-plus scores, which we know he is capable of. And I'd expect when some of those big middlemen for South Sydney do come back into that side, get those quick play the balls going, you'd expect Cook to expose some split markers and really tear up a team through the middle, which is, I'm getting excited just talking about. It's mouth-watering stuff. I've had him since round one. I mean, if you've decided to go without him until post-origin, now's the time to jump on.
And definitely a genuine captain option as well to the end of the year.
Yeah, it's a good shout, definitely. If you didn't want the week-to-week stress of trying to pick a captain, there's a lot to be said for just chucking it on Cook and leaving it and saving yourself the headaches. So coming in just after Cook for another popular buy this week, we've got Tommy Turbo. So I haven't quite got Tommy T in the must-have category alongside Cook there, just with guys like Teddy, Ponga and RTS available, but he isn't too far off, is he?
No, he's right up there for me, and I've just got all those three you've just mentioned, so I've got no room, and I've got other areas that if I was going to upgrade to, I'd be looking at someone like a John Bateman instead.
For sure. I mean, look, he's an outstanding player. We know what he's capable of. In a small sample size, he's pumped out some incredible scores. But there is a little bit of a concern for mine, given if you watch that game, you would have noticed that he was in a great deal of discomfort through a good portion of that first half. He obviously shook it off and had a stormer of a game, but any player that's, you know, managing an injury like Tommy Turbo, which, you know, is a hamstring or an ankle, it's a little bit of a concern if you're using your last one or two trades to get them in. But I mean, 13.2% ownership, you compare that to someone like Teddy, who's in 40% of teams. You can understand those that are going to lean towards him just to get that bit of a pod option.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Speaking of the devil, we've got James Tedesco on the list. And I've just noticed we didn't talk about our own teams before we jumped into who's hot, who's not.
You look like a man on a mission after we've had to re-record. So I just let you be and let you start talking, and then I thought we'd go back.
Fair enough. So yeah, James Tedesco, we'll go into a little bit more about him in my team. We might have a quick chat about our own teams before we jump onto the who's not. But he's my new favorite NRL fantasy player as of last week. Look, he had an incredible Origin series, had that week's rest. So he really showed, at least in my eyes, that he deserves to be in the conversation for one of the best fullbacks to ever play the game. He's absolutely incredible. He had 42 points in this game over the weekend just from tackle bus alone. So you can understand why people are so excited about him and are bringing him in this week. Again, he's one I started with, coughed up the big bucks right from round one to have him in my team. I just know how valuable he is. And as much as it pains me to say it, he is playing the Dogs this week. And look, I wouldn't be surprised if he was the first player in NRL fantasy to crack 200.
Yeah, and imagine putting the captain on him then. Stoked that I picked him up last week. It was perfect timing scoring that on the weekend. So, yeah.
It was one of your proudest moments when you actually brought him into your team. I know, like, you've graduated uni and you've had a little girl and, you know, you've had some good career achievements as well. But look, would you have Teddy right up the side along that as well?
It's in the top two or three.
Yeah, look, I could tell just by the glitter in your eye there. So well done. And look, obviously we both don't disagree at all with any of the coaches bringing him in this week. Another guy that we can get behind is the next guy on the list, and that's Cameron Murray. So Origin's now over and done with. We know through that kind of rounds 13 to 17, he hit a bit of a rough patch, looked to be struggling to back up from his Origin representative duties there. But plenty of coaches are jumping on this week, and I really can't argue with this one. I've had him throughout the whole season. The only thing worth consideration, I guess, at this stage of the year is he has a really high ownership as well of 30%. So guys like Madison are only around 10%. Do you think they're worth considering if you were going one or the other? Would you go the pod option, or do you think it's more about picking up a player to ensure you're not falling behind as a non-owner?
I always like taking the risk because we saw how tight it is in the rankings. Scoring 20 or 30 points less than the average can drop you a couple hundred places. So I'd be taking the risk.
There you go. So yeah, I think Madison, who isn't on this list, is worth consideration as well. Another one I really like, Braden Burns. So I brought him in a couple of weeks ago.
How good is he?
He's unbelievable. I mean, he doesn't need a try or a try assist to punch out a good score. He had 56 points over the weekend on the back of 9 tackle busts. And he's only 478K as well. So I actually bought him as sort of cover for 1 week and then potentially an 18th man option. But I'm bringing him into my team. I've dropped one of my halves out of my starting team, swung Ponga up into the halves and brought Burns in. But I can do that with a lot of confidence until I read a bit of a report today that he was on light duties at training with Kyle Turner, actually in his spot for the majority of the session as they're managing that hamstring injury. However, I did a little bit of digging and NRL.com are reporting he is in no doubt for the weekend, but they are managing that injury. Obviously, much like Tommy Turbo, there's that element of risk there as well.
Massive relief there for coaches.
Definitely, especially because a lot of people have jumped on in the last couple of weeks. It would have reeked of Jake Friend, which was even worse. So I know you'll get to that one, I'm sure. Finally, we've got the last couple of guys on the list here. The first one is John Bateman. Not a whole lot we need to say here. He's an awesome player. Just gets involved.
He's a machine.
He is, and I know you haven't got this center pairing, but my personal opinion is Nakora and Bateman. I just don't think you need to get too cute here. I think that's the best center combination there. The only other guy that I've got as a bit of a wild card, just because of that upside, is a guy you own, and that's Latrell Mitchell.
Yeah, I've been loving Latrell. He's done me proud, the Aztecs, over the last few weeks. I picked him up nicely, just pricing less than in the mid-500s, and he's done me proud.
Yeah, he's done really well. And you picked him up actually for the buy round, didn't you, where you moved up 1,000-plus spaces in 1 week. So, yeah, he's certainly turned out to be a great acquisition for you.
Yeah, he's boosted me up the rankings by a lot.
Next is the final guy on our list, and it's Mr. Consistent, another favorite of yours. I think he's knocked Luke Brooks off as probably one of your favorites. He's doing you dirty at the moment, young Brooksy.
He is.
But look, only one score under 50 that wasn't injury affected for Cameron McInnes. That essentially tells the story, doesn't it? And that was in round one as well. So coming out of preseason, haven't got the match fitness as yet. But I guess another factor of this is Dragons are under immense pressure at the moment. You look at their team on paper, and to think they're only 2 points ahead of the Bulldogs is a pretty alarming stat. They've got Widdop coming back this week, though, and I think they've really missed him. And look, that could unlock McInnes to get a few more attacking opportunities out of dummy half. So, yeah, I think he's a great buy this week and very deserved of being number 10 on the most popular buys.
And as you mentioned before, he's getting a lot of points from his defensive game, making a lot of tackles, especially over the weekend. So if you can get a bit of an attacking element in his game or back into his game this weekend, his score should even skyrocket even more.
Absolutely. Now, because we forgot, we might unpack how we went over the weekend. I'll get you to start. You didn't have the greatest week.
No, it feels like deja vu.
It does feel like deja vu, considering we just discussed this with the microphones off. Yeah, you're right.
I scored 990 over the weekend, which for normal weeks, it would have been quite a good score. However, we had a lot of coaches scoring above 1,000, even above 1,100. So my rank actually blew out from about 980 to 1,216, so which is pretty disappointing.
That's brutal.
Yeah, well, you can see how much is in it, can't you, between those couple of hundred ranks, only a handful of points. So Brooks, Fifita, Pierce and Twoll where had scored really disappointing for me. And Brooks, another sub 40 score yet again. And since I picked him up, I think the highest he scored is in the mid 40s, where he was coming off like consecutive 50s.
There's been a clear handover of those kicking duties, though, hasn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like a conscious decision where either Madge or Benji as a senior player has taken the reins for that. They're both good kickers of the ball, but without that base, you're really relying on the try assists. And even if he gets one or even two, he's still not putting together enough stats in other categories to be a keeper. And he was looking like one of the most consistent options through a good 6 to 7 week period at some stage, but he's come off the boil for him. Must have got wind that you bought him in and just decided to stick it to you there.
The fantasy gods, it doesn't surprise me at all. For trades wise this week, obviously I'll be keeping them to nil because I've only got two trades left. And for my captain option, looking like McInnes. I had him last weekend as captain and he did me proud, so sticking with him again.
You love McInnes, don't
you? Yeah, he's my new Glenn Morrison, maybe. I used to love Glenn Morrison, the old fantasy god. He was like a Corey Parker for me, forward tries and all that back in the early days.
Back in, would that have been like 2004 in year 10?
In the year
showing 10. Our age there, a couple struggling 30-year-olds.
Yeah, veterans here. And I can remember we were on fantasy in our computer class and the actual teacher used to then was able to actually shut our computers down when we
remotely
because we weren't actually following what he was doing. We were too busy checking our teams and negotiating
more than
trades.
We're holding live draft selections in computer science.
I remember
just absolutely sweating bullets, just thinking, please don't buy Hazem El Masri.
Always my man. And I always remember our mate Justin lied to me one time and said,
shout out Justin.
That he picked up Anthony Minicello. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And then like an hour later, I had a look and he was available. And I picked him straight up with a good smirk on my face.
Mate, that doesn't surprise me one bit. He's still got a few of those cunning tactics in our head-to-head classic league as well. So he's going all right, Justin, this year.
And how did you go on the weekend, man?
Mate, as I said before, I mean, there's some combinations in life that just go together, isn't there? I mean, you've got Vegemite and toast.
Here we go.
Milk and cookies. What's another one?
Peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter and jelly for our American fans.
I was about to say that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Shout out to you guys. I mean, out of their league and NRL fantasy.
Oh, that goes together like peas and carrots.
I hate peas. I don't know if I'll pay that one, but where I'm going with this is there's another combination that really stood out to me, and that was James Tedesco and daytime football.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
So look, I took a bit of a risk. I mean, I've whined about it on multiple occasions. My rank, with the exception of the buys, has been drifting from I think as low as 35 at some stage, from about round 9 all the way through. So I took a pod captain option with James Tedesco. He certainly didn't disappoint. Was breaking tackles for fun, and that's seen my rank go from 297 to 150 this week. So
how good's that?
Yeah, it's a considerable jump. I scored 1,095, so I was very happy with that. Especially considering I was pretty nervous once lockout had actually come into play, or the captains and vice captains, were locked. There was an element of, am I throwing this in the can here?
Well, you must be fairly confident, because normally I get a Thursday afternoon call on the way home when you're driving home from work just to suss out what my thoughts are.
I'm in a mess.
And you're sometimes sending me consecutive texts an hour and a half before the game kicks off on Thursday night, but I got nothing. So, yeah, you must be in a fairly quite confident man.
As I said to you, mate, milk and cookies, James Tedesco and Dave Footy. It's just a name a more iconic duo. You know what I mean?
I love it. No, I love it. So, let's kick on. Well, who's not?
I guess, yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of players people are bringing in this week, so they must be selling some as well, Liam. Let's take us through.
So the one obviously everyone's talking about this week is Andrew Fifita. So how do we solve a problem like Fifita? So he's just came off a 3-game suspension, did something stupid over the weekend, unfortunately. And
bit of a brain snap, wasn't it? Yeah, and it was unfortunately, he's
silly hit.
A little bit subject to that, but I'm a massive fan.
Oh, I love him.
And when he's on, he's incredible. But I mean, I think I know your thoughts on this one, but I'll let you take us through.
So yeah, he's accepted the charge. So he's getting a 1-game suspension instead of 2, which is good. So he's a definite hold for me. Just only 1-game suspension. He's a premium forward. It wasn't too long ago. It was only a fortnight ago when he scored 50 points in 58 minutes. So it's not like he's had a slump in form. He's had a poor game, made a poor decision. He's a hold for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I sacked you after your first...
which you probably should have after the first... If anyone's ever heard the first few podcasts, they're very cringeworthy and I try not to listen to them at all.
For a bit of fun, go back and listen to it. Liam and I have actually purposely not listened to them, and we actually have got a bit of a beer session planned at the end of the year where we're going to revisit them. So we'll see how we go.
At the OTL Christmas party.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Exactly. And guys, you're all invited. I'll be private messaging you Liam's home address.
Yeah, you come for a barbecue. No problem.
Through the week. So who's next on the list?
So we've got Bronson Cherry. So he's someone that I actually own. He's got a 3-game average in the early 30s. For me, I don't have enough trades. He's a definite keeper for me as an emergency center option. I wouldn't be looking at him as a starter, but he's a great option to have on their bench.
Oh, he is. And I mean, you've got to consider the fact that the Sharks have found themselves in a bit of a hole now, just outside the top 8. But I think obviously they're going to lift and try and get back into semi-final contention. Cherry's probably one of their best attacking weapons. So we've seen he's got a big score in him. I mean, I guess a lot of these trades are probably those that are going Cherry to Moga.
You free up like 200 grand for that. So it's, yeah, I can understand why they would.
And if that means you're getting Daly Cherry Evans or a David Clemmer, then I completely understand. But he's a more than worthy emergency option. And that's exactly what he'll be for me for the rest of the year.
Next, we've got Cade Cust. So he wasn't selected over the weekend due to a failed concussion test. However, he's named in the reserves this weekend. So he's got a 3-game average in the late 30s. He's done really well. A lot of people picked him up only thinking he was going to have a handful of games. He kept LG out and he's played much more than we expected. If you need someone to trade out to free some cash, he's another good option.
Yeah, did he surprise you? I mean, I didn't even think for a second about bringing him in, but he's another Ueli.
And another thing that surprised me even more was when DC did come back, he was still getting decent scores. It wasn't like his scores went to an LG type parameter in or a Kahu type parameter.
Sorry, Kane.
Yeah, sorry. He's not fantasy relevant.
He's not. Great player, but definitely not fantasy relevant. But I mean, yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, Cade Cust, he's a different kind of player to Cherry Evans, and I think he racks up stats in different columns, but just a good run of the ball and just gets involved where, you know, sometimes a halves partner alongside Daly Cherry Evans, we've seen it with guys even like Lachlan Croker, it's pretty easy to take a backward step and, you know, just sort of stick to your edge, let DCE do everything. He's such a dominant player. But Cade Custis couldn't keep his hands off the ball. And we've seen he did take some points off Cherry Evans. There was a few 40s in the stat column in NRL fantasy terms for Cherry Evans when he was partnering. But Walker was really good at six. So does Cust come straight back into that team? Potentially not.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And if you are a Cade Cust owner and you don't have any intention to sell him this week, just keep a close eye on late mail because you never know.
Absolutely.
So unfortunately for this one, we've got Jake Friend. So it's a really sad story for Friend. He got re-injured over the weekend after only 8 minutes. He now looks to have surgery on that arm and he looks to be out for 8 weeks. So I'm just hoping for his sake and for Roosters fans that he's actually back for the finals.
I feel so sorry for him. He's had such a horror run, and I think we spoke about it on our first attempt of recording this podcast.
Probably at length.
Yeah, you actually brought it up about, you know, he's been sitting behind Cameron Smith for the Queensland side for so long. Cameron Smith moves on. This is probably his year. So, look, he'd be feeling very unlucky, and I do feel for the bunch of coaches that obviously would have bought him in. I think he played 50 minutes and scored a 70-odd the week prior. So he looked ripe for the picking. But he's just got that injury proneness, I guess, to him now. And it's a factor you've got to consider. The saving grace, though, I guess, for him is that the Roosters will almost certainly be playing. Well, they will be playing semi-final football. So as long as they can get 1 or 2 weeks into the semis, he should get another opportunity this year.
He'll be like a new signing for him by the time final starts.
Absolutely, and fresh as well. So
next we've got Jake Turpin. So he's doing really good, and he's sort of like a Cade Cust as well, which we expected him to only have another short shelf life there, and Seji got signed, and we all thought that was the end of him. And
I remember calling you when the Seji news broke, and I thought I was killing it. I thought, I've dodged a bullet there. How good's that? But he has just been a beneficiary of circumstance. I mean, then the halves go down, and he's slotted into there. He's just hung around like a bad smell and made plenty of money. I know you've got the stat there, how much he's made.
Yeah, just over 200,000 in 9 games. So
there you go.
And he's on an urgent sell, but he's obviously can keep him for a decent another week. He's got a break even of 34. However, if you do need to sell him because you want to upgrade to that premium keeper to the end of the season, you can free up some cash with him. We've also got Zach Lomax, which is an interesting one because he's actually returning this week after a few weeks out with that thumb injury. But he's returning on the wing, so he's shifting from the center. He's got that dual position capabilities and a really low break even. For me, he's the perfect emergency type option to have.
Definitely. I mean, ideally, he's playing in the centers and getting through some tackles and also kicking goals as well. It's likely that Gareth Widdop will come in and take those duties. He's just such a sharp shooter for the Dragons there. And given he's a senior player, I think he'll want that responsibility. But as you said, dual position, sit him on your emergencies. We've actually got a question on him, which I won't answer directly now that we've covered it. But yeah, I'd be holding Lomax.
We've also got Kickout. He's named at the moment, but we're pending the judiciary tonight. So we'll keep an eye. Has it been updated? You checking the phone?
Missing 2 games. It's come through on the phone.
So I think he'll be a big sell for a lot of owners then as a result for that.
He might be higher on the list, yeah.
Definitely. So he scored 92 points in round 13, but hasn't recaptured that form. Everyone thought when he scored that, oh, he's back. Unfortunately, he hasn't scored more than 43 points, I think only once since then. So that's a bit of a concern. He came off the weekend with 17 points in 71 minutes.
That's a really worrying thing. Like a sub 20 when playing almost a full game, it's not acceptable for a final 17 player.
And he's one of the most entertaining forwards to watch as well.
I love him. I mean, when he holds the ball out like a marble and just gets that fen going. I mean, they just give him early ball sometimes and he just, you know, they just say to the defense, do your best, mate. Here comes Big Billy. And I love it when he runs at halfbacks.
Big Bad Billy.
Big Bad Billy. And he gives him that big don't argue. But yeah, I mean, the consistency's not there because he hasn't got that base through tackles and that kind of thing. So he's a bit of a wild card, but with so many good options, particularly in the back row. I mean, you've got Murray as a popular buy this week as well. I think a lot of people will be moving on kick out for the likes of those guys.
So we've got Connor Watson. So he's named on the interchange yet again this weekend. He scored a solid score over the weekend from the interchange, 38 points in 44 minutes. But he does have that break even of 53 this weekend. And he's a definite good trade-out option to upgrade to a premium player for a keeper.
Yeah, I guess he did enough, didn't he, to make sure that his price didn't plummet this week. So hopefully he's at a price point where you can turn him into a keeper. A lot of people will be going for that Tommy Turbo this week. So yeah, I think if you've bought in Watson, you were probably doing so knowing that it's going to be a short shelf life. And to get the value out of that trade, you've got to move him now. And I know you're smirking at me because I said shelf life.
Yes, because that's what I'm saying. I like that. I'm actually brushing up on you, aren't I?
You're right. 100% you are rubbing off on me, and like I almost started laughing as it was coming out of my mouth.
I love it. That's good. Hashtag short shelf life. It's good.
Hashtag squad depth.
We're getting the sayings up there. I'll have probably five or six by the time this season has ended. And you'll have your few, obviously, as well, with absolutely always getting in there.
Absolutely.
Oh, we've also got Cody Walker. So he's got a five-game average of in the mid-30s at the moment, where he hasn't scored a try. And the most concerning thing is since that origin period after game one, he scored 11 tries in his opening 10 games, but he hasn't scored a try since.
Yeah, he's such a natural talent where, you know, he can create something out of nothing. But I think if you look at the halves, this is a perfect example, I think, for when you're picking up a half in NRL fantasy, when you've got Adam Reynolds versus Cody Walker. So look, if you want to take a risk and you want that huge upside, you go for someone like Walker, but you've got to be willing to wear those really low scores. But then you look at someone like Adam Reynolds, regardless of the result of the game, he's going to get through X amount of tackles and X amount of kick meters, which gives him that floor. So always go for those players that are just racking up those little stats in and around the try assists and tries, like your kick meters, and you'll have much less headaches throughout the year.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Lastly, we've got CNK. So
this one I thought was weird. I seen, like, obviously we've the second time we've discussed this, but he's been really good. He had a little bit of a form slump, and I probably held him a week or two too long. I copped those couple of low scores and his price drops that went along with it. But since then,
his price has come right up. His scores have come back right up. I'm a bit surprised actually as well. You know, I'm loving the little stats. He's got a three-game average in the mid-50s. Yeah. So as a result of that, break-even of 27. So he looks to make some more cash. If you want to get rid of him, I'm probably keeping him for at least another 1 or 2 weeks at like the worst case scenario.
And I guess as well, I mean, if you're well and truly entrenched in your top four in your head-to-head league and you're planning on going CNK to Tommy Turbo, could you potentially hold off a week just to make sure Tommy's hamstring, you know, is okay and he's not going to be impeded by it at all next week, and then potentially make it a little bit later just because you're not going to lose any money on CNK this week? Something to consider.
Yeah, I'd always be playing it safe, especially with trade management at this stage. So did you want to kick things off with the social questions? We'll hit Facebook and Instagram up first.
Yep, for sure. And obviously it's not going to happen this time, but funny story, on the first recording, I went through the Instagram and the Facebook questions and I started going into our outro, and Liam's just waving at me going, mate, what about Twitter?
Yeah, Byron was already going to his car, packing up.
I'm going to go to the gym after this, mate. It's going to be a late night for me.
We're lucky you got 24-hour access in the gym, though.
Very lucky. But I'm going to be struggling at work tomorrow. So I'm just pulling up the questions now on Instagram. We're really thankful. We got heaps this week.
Oh, we got heaps. So
would this be our most we've got in a week?
It could be. And we had a little bit of a dry patch over the last couple of weeks. And I just thought after Origin, but it's really ramped up this week.
Yeah, I was thinking, we've definitely punished some eardrums over the last couple of weeks. Maybe they've just had a gutful and they're moving away, but they're back this week, so we love it. Thanks, guys. First question comes in from F Trend. So first part of it is actually just a comment where Kenny has made the 30K funding to allow him to go straight to Cook. So how good's that?
Nice work.
That's what you want out of a cash cow and bringing in a keeper for the run home. His question is for Fifita a sell if he cops two games? Well, he's only copped one. Obviously, this question was put through before we knew that, but he's an absolute hold. Next question is coming in from Jaden, who's a regular listener. I just want to say thanks to Jaden. He's always interacting with us and sharing our stuff. So thank you very much for your support. He's wondering who he should captain this week. He had a chat to me throughout the week and about my choice of captaining Teddy. He's realised that they're playing the Dogs, and look, geez, that's a bit of a stab there. It's definitely hard to admit it, but as I said before, he could be the first player to crack 200 this week, so he's definitely an option. But then, if you do want to play it safe, you've got Haas, you've got Cook, but for me, Cook or Teddy this week. What about yourself?
Cook or Teddy, and Cook would edge it for me if you had to choose one out of the two.
Fair enough. So the next one comes in from Wayne. It's not actually a question. It's just a shout out. You wouldn't have seen this, but he's just said that he wanted to say good day, and it's always awesome to talk footy with you.
Really good to hear.
Really appreciate that.
Keep listening.
Absolutely. Next question comes in from Kieran, and he's looking to trade out McLean. And given Fifita's going to miss a week, it has to be a front row forward, and he's got 649 to spend. I had a quick look, and probably the only guys I'd be considering at that price range, which is a tricky one, were Adam Fanua Blake and potentially Twal if he's still going to play the same minutes from the interchange.
Yeah, I agree.
Next, we've got Aiden. So this isn't a direct NRL fantasy question. It's more just of the NRL and the final series coming up. He's wondering our thoughts on which teams from positions 9 to 16 have a chance of playing finals footy this season. For me, it's probably the Bronx and the Sharks, I guess. I know the Warriors are actually ranked above them, but I just don't know if I've got too much confidence in them. Sorry, Warriors fans. Keep in mind, I am a Dogs fan, so they're doing a lot better than us. Don't worry about that. But they're probably the only real two that I can see making a charge. Anyone else for you, Liam?
Yeah, as a neutral, I'd probably like to see the Warriors in the top eight. But I think realistically, as you mentioned, the Sharks and the Broncos have some decent quality there, and they should be in the top eight. So one of those.
Next question. It was probably my favorite for the week, actually, because it genuinely made me laugh out loud. It comes in from Amy, and she's used the hashtag lacking squad depth, which is...
Got myself a catchphrase already. It's good.
You do, mate.
Or hashtag? Yeah.
Yeah. So I love that, Amy. Thanks for sending that through. She's found herself in a bit of a pickle this week in that she is a Fifita owner, doesn't have that front row forward cover. She's in the hunt to take out her head-to-head league. She's 100 points behind the leader, and she needs to win. So it sounds like there's a lot riding on this. She's asking, should I trade, leaving me with just one trade left for the run home, or should she just cop a loss and play 1 week with 16 players?
I'd probably hold Fifita this week just because we've got so many rounds still left. If we only had like 3 rounds to go, I'd say definitely risk it. But with 6 or 7 rounds still to go, I'd be keeping Fifita.
For sure. I mean, if he was 2 weeks out, considering she's actually mentioned she doesn't have Haas. So if he was missing 2 weeks, I'd potentially go to Haas just to round out that last sort of couple of points. But just hold 1 week. There's a long way to go.
Yeah, save a trade. A
trade could be very handy. Next, we've got Nick. So he's got about $9.50 to spend on a combination of a half and a front row or second row. Who should he get? He's mainly a head-to-head player.
Yeah, he hasn't got too much money there. I'd be looking at, if you're looking at sort of 500,000, 600,000 players, you can look at someone like a Mitchell Pearce as a halfback option. We saw his potential 4 or 5 weeks ago.
He's pretty cheap at the moment, isn't he?
He's really cheap. I picked him up for about that price around that time, and then he just was scintillating for about a month. I can't recommend Brooks. I sort of want to recommend him, so then someone else has him, but Yeah, that's.
I mean, you did that to me.
But, yeah, I did. I convinced you. So
actually, while we're on that, if you're out there and Liam talked you into Luke Brooks, we want to hear from. Actually, we might get you on the show and do a 60-minute style interview about how Liam's ruined your NRL fantasy season.
Yeah, ruined your life. Yeah, Brooks. It was, hey, when I picked him up, he had like consecutive like 5 games in a row of 50. He had some good pedigree, but yeah, hasn't even hit 50 since I've bought him.
So I think he actually got word of it. I might have actually sent him a cheeky text and said, listen, my mate Liam's bought him in. I really want to take him out in this head-to-head. But yeah, no, don't go for Brooks. Outside of those guys, I think, look, if you really wanted to bring in, you know, a high-end half, so if you're looking at someone like Cherry Evans, maybe go for a cheapie like Stockwell. As a front row forward. I'm guessing that, you know, they won't be a final 17 player for you, but Stockwell would be good enough to play this week in replace of Fifita if it meant getting in a gun in the halfback position.
Yeah, good point.
Will is writing in asking if Hunt to DCE is a waste of a trade. Look, all things considered, it's an upgrade, I think. DCE, especially partnering Dylan Walker in the halves, is a great shout, given that you wouldn't expect him to do too much of the long kicking. So DCE owners would be stoked that Cade Cust is in that 18th man jersey. But I'd be having a bit of a look at Hunt. I think you looked up his ownership on the first time we were recording. It was less than 2%.
Yeah, it's like 2.5%, something like that. It's really low.
So, I mean, a lot of people are expecting the Dragons. I mean, they're in a bit of a crisis. They've got Gareth Widdop back. We know what Hunt can do. So I'd actually be giving it a week or two before I'd make that move. Obviously, you're getting lower on trades and Hunt could be a really good point of difference.
Yeah, totally agree.
Next, we've got Sam. So he's got a question about Lomax. We actually touched on that earlier. He's wondering if there's a sideways move he could make to make some extra cash as a final cash cow for the year. There's guys like Moga that we talked about before, but I would not be wasting a trade on that because he's mentioned he hasn't got many left either. So hold on to Lomax there for your emergencies. And last but not least for Instagram, we've got Henry. So I want to see Henry's team because it must be pretty good. He's looking for a final bench spot out of Cherry Evans, Mattison, or Clemmer.
Yeah, not bad.
I mean, you're doing well. So, I mean, for me, it's Cherry Evans. He's just got that upside. Mattison and Clemmer will get through plenty of work, but I always like having that little bit of X factor. You never know. He could bust out an 80+.
Yeah, there's 3 good options there.
Cherry Evans for you, though, as well?
I'd probably go Clemmer.
Oh, okay.
I might mix it up a bit.
There you go. Well, let us know.
Be a bit controversial.
For sure, mate. It's your style. But yeah, let us know what you lock in there. You've got both our thoughts there. We'll jump over now to Facebook, where we've got a few questions through there as well. Of course, I won't go into our outro after this. We will get to Liam's Twitter questions.
You want a glass of water or anything, man? You've been
no, I'm all, hard I'm all good, mate.
10 minutes.
It's giving my cardio a bit of a test, actually.
Yeah,
the two podcasts in a row there. Okay, so bringing up the questions, let's have a look here. First one comes in from Sebash, and he's written in saying, hey guys, he's got 5 trades left, playing head-to-head only, and he's thinking about this week going Whiten to DCE and Kenny Bromwich to Gerbo. Lock that in, I think.
Definitely do it right now.
For sure. So whatever you're doing, Sebash, if you're at work, whatever it is, pull out the phone, open up that app and make that trade.
Yep.
And then he's also thinking next week to go To'o and Turpin for Damian Cook, which sounds great, but it would leave him with just 1 trade. So
a bit dangerous.
It is a little bit dangerous. We've obviously got a bit of a leg to go between now and the end of the year. You're playing head-to-head, so you'd hate to come into a major semi-final and have, you know, a major player go down and you'll be stuck with them, or 2 players go down, rather, given you've got 1 trade. So make the first 2, I think, absolutely, and then hold off on getting Cook as long as you can. So you can make it with confidence a little bit later into your semi-finals. The next question comes in from Chris, and he managed 1,077 last weekend, which is a great score. And he's moved up from 691 to 583 in the ranking. So he's having an outstanding season. His goal is the top 500. So we hope you get there, mate. What he's thinking of doing this week is bringing in Teddy, but he would have to cut someone like Fifita or RTS. He's getting lower on trades as well. He's got five. Would you be making that trade out?
No, I can't trade out RTS. He's been in... How good form's he been over the last month?
He's breaking records for meters run and stuff like that. And I mean, Teddy's been amazing. I know you sort of mentioned that's the only way you can get them in, but I'd be having another look and just seeing how you can free up the cash. For Fifita, I know he's missing this week, but he's a set and forget option in your front row forward. Ordinarily, he will bounce back.
And sometimes you're always going to have that player that you really want in your squad and you're never going to get him. For me, someone probably like a Bateman, I know I'm not going to get him. There's always a play for every team. I'm sure you've got a player that you want, maybe a halfback or something like that. That
it's
you
Mitchell
wanted.
Moses. I'll so, tell you now. That's I mean, I can't believe he's not being talked about more. Really want him in my team. And unfortunately, given the trades I've got left, I've got my 18 players. I'm just going to have to try and pick and choose some smart captains between here and the end of the run home. And yeah, to see if I can peg back some spots that way. But everyone's got some of those players. Yeah, Bateman for you, Moses for me. So another part to his question is in relation to Twal. So he's noticed he's on the bench this week and he's obviously worried about that. It's not ideal. And he's saying, look, if he does get reduced minutes, do you think a move from him to James Fisher-Harris could be something worth consideration?
Well, I've actually got a Twitter question from Callan who asked exactly the same thing. He actually suggests Clemmer or James Fisher-Harris. Depending how many trades you got, to be honest, I think if you had five or six trades, you could make that trade. If I had to choose one of those, I'd probably go Clemmer. But if you've only got a couple of trades under your belt, I'd be keeping Twal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, well, Chris, he did mention he's got five trades, as I said. So, I mean, that's probably enough. But would it be worth giving Twal one more week just to confirm what that rotation is going to be like? I mean, front row forwards can still get through the same amount of work from the bench. He might play the exact same minutes.
And it's points per minute he might be getting, yeah, really good quality from the bench. So it's be interesting one to see.
It is. So, I mean, for my advice, I'd be holding for 1 week and then pull the trigger if he's playing 40 or less moving forward. And finally, the last question on Facebook, we've got Jamie. He's got six trades left, so he's doing even better in the trade management space. And he's looking at trading out Turpin and Masters for either Cook or Teddy. Can only have the one. Who are you locking in, Liam?
I'd go Cook.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I carried on about James Tedesco earlier in the podcast. But yeah, Damian Cook started the year 900 plus thousand for a reason. I think that he's got to be your default captain moving forward for the rest of the year. Now that Origin's done, it's Cook for me as well. So I'd lock him in.
Kick things off with Twitter now. So you've covered a lot of questions that I actually got asked on Twitter as well, so we won't rehash those. We'll kick things off with Ty, who's asked, he's got two trades left. The plan for him is to go from Tavanga to Cook and then To'o to someone in around the 700,000 mark. Now, his question is, when should he trade those two out? So be definitely keeping them this week with their low break even and their form. What do you think?
Well, yeah, it's a tough one because at this stage of the year, money's irrelevant for a lot of coaches. It's more kind of about getting the best players on the field as you can. We've only got a limited amount of rounds to go. So if you really want to make a push and money isn't an issue, I mean, there's no point in waiting a couple of weeks and then having 50K in your bank, for instance, if you make that trade.
I think it also depends on which player he actually wants. He just has To'o to someone for 700,000. So if he was looking for someone for 750, like a Mitchell Moses, then I'd say definitely keep those plays for another week. They can make some more money and then you may be able to afford him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it does. It depends on who you're looking to bring in. But I mean, for Tavanga to Cook, for instance, if you had a must-win head-to-head match this week, I mean, that's a trade you just make when you can.
Oh, you could, yeah, definitely. Next, we've got Gillard, who's got a screenshot of his team and sent it to us. And he's got four trades to go and he's asking what he should do. I know he really wants Turbo, but looking at his squad, he doesn't actually have any second row forward coverage other than the starting lineup. So I'd be looking to upgrade to a premium second row forward. He's got a lot of money in the bank, so he could easily go to a Madison or a Murray. So I'd be looking at that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good shout. Sometimes you kind of push into a corner a bit in terms of what positions you have to target. And I think come the back end of the year when you've got no trades, if you are forced to sit out a player, you do want at least one player in every position to sub in on any given week. So it's all about that squad depth, I would say, Liam.
I like it. We've got Mac, who wants a prop, a fullback and a half, and he wants some options for those with no price ranges. So there's a lot of options there to choose.
Did you say his name was Politis? Or?
I wish, yeah. Brown paper bag style. No, he's just asking for some premium options. We've got Clemmer, obviously Haas to Power. As we mentioned before, you've got some cheaper forwards as well, like Twal. Fullbacks, you've got, we know the premium fullbacks you could choose, RTS, Ponga, Teddy. Some cheaper options if you couldn't afford them. You've got CNK, To'o, and Corey Thompson.
Probably Burns as well.
And I Burns, mean, yeah, that's a good shout.
479K. He looks really good if you're not too worried about him being on light duties at training.
He's another favorite of yours, eh? I can see you getting really emotional and passionate about that, just like
you,
a Teddy.
You know that I love players that just have those little base stats. Mm. I mean,
base stats and kick meters for you, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's one of my favorite base stats. Absolutely. Kick meters and tackle bus as base. So players that just break tackles on their normal hit ups. I mean, there's not much more that gets me too excited, I've got to say.
Well, I can tell because you're just about to light up a cigarette. now, we've got halfback options, obviously, as well. So we've got DCE, you've got Moses Milford, and he's got that dual position now, which I'm a bit surprised we haven't had many questions on Milford with that dual position.
I mean, throw him in the same boat as Mitch Moses. Both of those guys I would love to bring in as a bit of a pod for the run home. And I mean, that dual position status is pretty big as well. If you've got to get a little bit creative with moving players around to cover injuries, that's huge. And he'll be one of the first players I target next year, potentially in the back three. I think, you know, you've only got to see that he's getting all those run meters, the tackle bus, but he's still doing all the long kicking. So he's getting the best of both worlds, and it's a pretty potent combination. And I mean, they're just outside of the top eight. They'll be looking to him to really get them into that semi-finals for the run home.
And if you needed like a bit of a cheaper option, because I said he didn't give us a price range, so if you needed cheaper options, you've got Croft, which you're an owner of. You've got Widdup. He's not a great usual fantasy player. I think his average last year was in the late 30s, but he's a definite option, being priced in the mid 400s. Any other options you got there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd just say for both Croft and Widdop, they're only an option if you're forced into that price range. Yeah. I mean, ideally, you're not bringing in mid-ranges or anything like that at this stage.
It's just hard to know without a price.
It is. So we've got to throw up a few options. So hopefully that can steer you into a winner.
So we've got Cano, who's 54,000 short to get Teddy, which obviously must be heartbreaking there. So to do that, though, he needs to use two trades, which means he's only got two trades left for the rest of the season. So does he activate that two trades to have two trades left to get Teddy?
I mean, yeah, that's a tough one. And again, without seeing the remainder of his team, if he's got you know, enough depth in each position, like yourself, you've got two trades left for the run home. The thing is, you do put yourself in a position where 1 week could completely wipe you out, couldn't it?
And it's hard to see, like, he might actually have someone like Turbo, RTS, and Ponga, and might not need Teddy, and might need to upgrade in a different position. So it's hard without looking, but
I mean, all we can say is Tedesco's a fantastic buy this week. If you're risk adverse and you've got cover in every position, and you personally think you'll be safe to run home with two trades and lock it in. If that makes you a little bit nervous and you have got that wing fullback coverage, maybe hold off if you can.
So to wrap the questions up, we've got Brett, who's got a few questions here. So firstly, Teddy or Cook, and we've answered that before, we both went Cook. Now to get one of those in, he needs to trade out either Twal, Tapau, Fifita, Ponga, and SJ. So for me, I'd only be considering Twal and SJ if I had to. Otherwise, the others are definite keepers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wait and see on Twal, as we talked about before, but if he does get reduced minutes off the bench, he's the obvious one. And then SJ maybe after that.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
I mean, he's still putting up decent scores, even though he's not playing real well in actual NRL. The rest of the guys, don't even consider trading them.
And lastly from Brett, he asks, Murray for Fifita. So as we mentioned in the podcast, I'd be keeping Fifita, and Murray's been really good over the weekend, but I'd still be keeping him.
Yeah, absolutely. Hold Fifita.
So before we wrap things up, don't forget it's Beanies for Brain Cancer. So of course, I've looked after heaps of people diagnosed in the early stages, and it's a very progressive, long, deteriorating disease, and I've seen it to the end stages as well. So if you can, get out there, go to the games, get a beanie, support brain cancer, and hopefully we can get a cure soon.
Yeah, very well said, Liam. Best of luck through the week. Feel free to send us any last minute questions you have in our socials, and we'll talk to you next week ahead of round 20.
Hopefully just one take next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
See you next week.
See you guys.